Matthew chapter 11. Our scripture is verses 25 to 30.
At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it has seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all of you labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the invitation that you extend to us poor men and women. Thank you for the peace that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Spirit of God, will you please teach us through your holy word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I want you to hear these glorious words, and I want you to let them sink down deep into your ears. I hope that you will take the day. We were saying in Sunday school class how every one of our lessons ends with this. Take a few minutes now to reflect on what you have just learned, and right at the end of Sunday school class, we shake hands, we go, we pray, we come out here. And really, when do we have a few minutes to take and sit and reflect on what we've just learned? I implore you, take this afternoon, take a half an hour at least, and ponder over this scripture and meditate on the words and let them fill your heart. Hear God's very voice calling to you. Inviting you, encouraging you, may I even say pleading with you, appealing to you. Now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of deliverance. The Almighty God said through the prophet, in a favorable time I will answer you, and in a day of salvation I will help you. That favorable time is today. That day of help, that day of salvation is today. There are no obstacles in your way. Okay, the Lord, you see, certainly puts no obstacle in your way. God, forgive me if I were to put an obstacle in your way. God, have mercy on his church. Forever putting a hurdle of any kind between you and the kingdom of heaven. If you ever wanted to know what Christ has to say to the human race, what would he say to you if he could speak to you? Here it is. Let's consider the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus here. Surely, friends, these verses are among the most lovely, promising, enticing, and therapeutic in all of the Bible. We see two little sections. The first two verses, 25 and 26, are a prayer that Jesus offered up. Yes, in the presence of his audience, speaking to his Father, but as always, whenever he prays aloud, it's for the benefit of his hearers too. Okay? He means for people to hear this, 25 and 26. And then the rest of it, Jesus addresses himself directly to them. Luke tells us that on this occasion, that Jesus was full of joy in the Holy Spirit as he said these words. He doesn't just thank the Father. Okay, you see our version, verse 25. I thank you, Father. A thank isn't quite the right word. Okay, the word that's there, it means to publicly declare my affirmation of and my consent to, my approval of what the other person has done. It's like saying, I confess you, Father. I ratify what you have done. I confirm it. Okay, you are right and good to do this thing, and I proclaim that I agree from down deep within me. Okay, that is, that you catch the wise in their craftiness. You hide yourself from the hard of heart and the arrogant. You hide yourself from the self-confident. You snare the wicked in his own trap. And it's to the helpless and to the needy and to the poor in spirit that you show yourself. Okay, that it's to them that you reveal your goodness. What could be more right and fitting than that God should leave alone in their futility the people who think they're going to do it themselves? They have no need to submit to him. They don't have to rely on him. They know better somehow than the creator of heaven and earth knows. They're very wise and experienced. Okay, then go your own way. If you know better, you go that way. You find out where it leads you. Okay, is your life a mess? Is your life difficult? It's going to stay that way as long as you keep doing it your way. And rather, it's to those who sit down at the Lord's feet and say, I know nothing. Surely I am stupider than any man. I have no understanding. Lead me. Give me wisdom. Give me the knowledge of the Holy One. I am weary, O God. I am weary and worn out. Isn't it just fitting and right that God should validate and confirm men's and women's choices? Does he compel? Does he force you? No, he calls. He invites. Come if you wish. Go if you wish. But if you go, you will never find me out there, because I'm not out there. I'm here. But if you come, I will accept you. Jesus says, indeed, Father, thus it was pleasing in your sight. Okay, it's just what is suitable, brothers and sisters. Friends, if you decline the invitation, then you decline. Do you expect God to chase you down and run you down and tackle you and drag you, force you back into his realm, back into his sphere of blessing? He won't. So go ahead, go. Okay. Now, he doesn't want that. But if that's what you want. Okay, and then Jesus turns to his audience and he says, verse 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. What things? Things about the Father, okay? Things about the kingdom of God, admission into it, blessings to distribute according to however he sees fit, an inheritance to portion out for the age to come, the right to judge. That's been committed to the Son, right? He says that in John. The Father has committed all judgment to the Son. Life from the dead. Okay, as the Father gives life, raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives it to whom he will. Okay, all these things have been committed to the Son of God. The Father has committed them into his hands. But especially here, the key thought is the knowledge of God. Okay, what's been committed into the Son's hands? Revelation of the knowledge of God. Now, I don't mean like the philosophy kind of knowledge. Okay, I mean personal knowledge, intimate acquaintance with God himself. That has been committed to Jesus Christ. Men and women don't naturally know God, do they? They might say there is a God, okay, but there is a God is not knowing God. Who is God? What is he like? What does he do? What does he want from us? People don't know the answers to that, okay? They have to be revealed. Those are things you can't figure out on your own. You can't find them under a rock. You can't climb a mountain and find them. You can't read them in the stars. You can't figure them out just by the brute force of reason. They have to be revealed. Can a man, by searching, find out God? Can you fathom his mysteries? Can you measure his limits? They're higher than the heavens. What can you do? They're lower than Sheol. What can you know? And then knowledge, personal knowledge of God, it is a choice treasure that is beyond value. Think of all those questions that people ask. Why am I here? What's it all about? Where did we come from? What meaning does my life have? Why should I go on living? Okay, who am I meant to be? Can all of this just be for nothing? That is what has been delivered to Christ Jesus by the Father. Who is Christ? He is the repository of the knowledge of the true and living God. He is the one that God sent into the world to reveal him, okay, to make God known, to speak to us, to redeem us, to shed light into onto humanity. Okay? Jesus is not just a man, he's the God-man. He is true God, begotten of true God. Verse 27 says, no one knows the Son except the Father. Okay? Yes, the Father knew his Son. He sent his Son. Right? There's a sort of a specialized word here that for knows. Okay, no one knows the Son. It's not your regular kind of knowledge, like you know a fact. Okay, this is it's not gnosis, it's epignosis, or a prefix to it, which means it's definite knowledge. There's a sure knowledge, a personal, intimate knowledge, a deep knowledge. Okay, everybody thought Jesus is just a man among men, but they did not know him. Okay, they were badly mistaken when they assumed that. The truth was that God foreknew him before the founding of the world. He's the eternal Son. Right? He says, before Abraham was, I am. The scripture says he is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of the being of God. He was rejected by men because they did not know him, but he was known by God, and he was chosen, and he was precious to God. This is the one we have to deal with. This is the man in whose name we assembled. Even though Jesus was known by people, right? I mean, he had friends, he had family, he had acquaintances, he had followers. No one truly, deeply, completely knows the Son the way the eternal Father knows him. He says, I and the Father are one. Okay, no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Now, what is Jesus saying? He is saying there is no other way to come to a knowledge of the Supreme Being except through himself, Jesus Christ. Okay, because all things have been delivered to me by my Father. They're not delivered to anyone else. There is limited access to God. Only through the eternal Son can anyone ever know the eternal Father. Now, that has been the theme running through this chapter of Matthew, that God has testified to the world in Jesus Christ, and they did not know him. Even when he was right there, center stage, they didn't recognize the Son, and you can't know the Father unless you come to his Son. So even John the Baptist found himself a little uncertain. Are you the chosen one? The cities of Galilee and of Israel, they did not respond, right? Woe to you, Bethsaida, woe to you, Chorazin and Capernaum. The Jewish religious leadership, they scorned him because they did not know him. Only a remnant of little babies had the truth revealed to them, okay? Infants, little children. These are the ones to whom God, through his Son, is going to reveal his mind. These are the ones, and only they, to whom he gives that peace that passes understanding. Okay, they are the ones to whom he gives healing of the soul and of the spirit, as well as the healing of the body. Now, it sounds limited. Okay, I said there is limited access. But don't believe for a second that God is keeping people out. Okay? Because you might say, God's not being very fair here, you know, if he already decided that certain people aren't going to be saved. You know, Jesus sort of picks and chooses which ones to open their eyes, and, you know, some people just get the short end of the stick. You know, they're trapped in their blindness because Jesus is withholding the knowledge of God from them, and then you're going to condemn them for being blind? How's that fair? Okay? No, that's not it at all. Because look what he says immediately after that. He says, come, all. No one who comes will be refused. Nobody. Come to me, all you, and I will. Is that limited? Is there some obstacle in your way? Is there someone or something that you can blame for keeping you from coming? I think it's actually you that's not being fair to God, okay? If you're honest with yourself and you see the scriptures, you will see that the invitation is wide open. It is wide open. You cannot blame God if you find yourself out in the cold and dark. You cannot blame God if you are struggling and if you are desolate. Here I am, he says. All you who are thirsty, come and drink. All you who are weary, come to me and find rest. The only hindrance is yourself. You will not come to me that you might have life. How often I would have gathered you under my wings like a mother hen, right? You were not willing. Okay, there's no actual obstacle preventing you from deliverance, just your own pride. Okay, no one knows the Father, no one has fellowship with the Father or friendship with the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, but it's come to me, and I will. I will. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, ask for the old paths, ask where the good way is, walk in it, and I will give you rest for your souls. That's from the Old Testament. Okay, that's from Jeremiah. It's fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Learn from me. I'm going to teach you. Okay, you don't know God. God hasn't revealed himself to you. There are things you don't understand. Okay, come to me and learn. Nobody said you had to stay that way. It's just you choosing to stay that way. Okay, if you know me, you know the Father, right, Philip? Okay, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. No one's seen God at any time, but the only begotten one who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known to us. And now, John writes in his epistle, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm writing this to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. Why don't you come and share our fellowship? These things are written so that you may know and believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God, and that believing you may have eternal life in his name. Now let's have a look. It says, come, take, learn. Three things for you to do. First, come, because if you go, you'll never find life out there. It isn't out there. You will never find God, friends, if you turn your back and walk around the opposite way. Here I am. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Everybody know what a yoke is? Some of you young guys might not know what a yoke is. It's a harness that you put it over the neck of a horse or an ox so that it can pull a plow. Okay, it goes over the shoulders and neck of a plow animal, so, you know, pull a wagon or something. It means, when it says take my yoke upon you, it means come under my rule. Submit to me. Let me be your master. Pull the burden, bear the burden, which I will lay upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Hey, Christ is our teacher. He is our example. We are to be his disciples. He is our instructor. We are to be his servants. He is our master. He, our captain, our commander. We, his soldiers. Captain says, this way, men. And we say, yes, sir, right away, sir. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Father except those to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. So learn from me. Learn. Okay? It's actually not three separate things, is it? It's all one. Come, take, learn. Okay? Taking Christ's yoke upon you and learning from him is what it means to come to him. Okay? You can't separate the three. If you won't submit to his yoke and you won't obey his commandments, then you haven't come. Okay? Don't fool yourself, my friends. Coming to church is not coming to Christ. This is how we know that we know him, John writes, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him also ought to walk just as he himself walked. And in him there is no sin. No one who lives in him continues to sin. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Okay, if someone says, I love God, they hate their brother, he is a liar. Because how can you love God whom you haven't seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen? So we have this commandment from him that whoever says he loves God must love his brother also. Okay, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Christians, coming to Jesus, contrary to popular belief, isn't a once and you're done type of proposition. Okay? You come to him and you abide in him. All things, all authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. So don't trifle with him. Don't toy around with him. Okay? And you see that it's silly to anyway. It would be silly to, because the scripture says his commandments aren't burdensome. They're not burdensome. Okay? Obeying the Lord, obeying the commandments, is the pathway to blessing. It's not the pathway to grief and hardship. Okay? It is the devil's lie that obeying Jesus and committing my way to him, being his disciple, taking on his yoke, it's the devil's lie that's going to make your life harder. Okay? Do what he says. It will be for your own good. Come to me. Who does he say it to? To the weary. What kind of weary? Doesn't matter. All you who are weary, any kind of weary, whatever your burden is it sin? Is it addiction? Is it loneliness? Is it sadness? Is it danger? Poverty? Overwork? Life? Whatever toil and burden is yours, come to Jesus Christ and take his yoke and learn from him. Now, is it only to the unsaved that Jesus says this? Christians, you also need to listen up. Don't think the invitation is just for the unbeliever, okay? We all have to say, Lord, help my unbelief, don't we? We all need to learn to trust Jesus more. We need to learn to obey him more readily. We need to learn to imitate him better. You don't come to Jesus one time in your life and then skate the rest of the way. Okay? It's take my yoke upon you. Grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word, epignosis, that word that means the deep knowledge, the personal knowledge. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his purpose, to nurture us from babies and rear us up from glory to glory. Okay, remember what I said? Jesus rejoiced as he said all this. It makes him glad that little ones are coming to him. It makes him glad. But you don't stay a baby. Amen. Amen. Now, there are some of you who have some growing up to do. You're stunted. Okay, honestly, you've stunted yourselves. Peter says that if you have indeed tasted that the Lord is good, then grow. As little infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that you may grow. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest for your souls. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Okay, that's another great word there. The word actually means kind. It means suitable, pleasant. It means it's a good fit, this yoke. My commandments are kind. They're not burdensome. Haven't you found the Lord Jesus Christ to be kind? Now, you know, it says, I will give you rest. That's not to say that the life of a Christian can be very vigorous, okay, even taxing. But it's a different kind of labor, this kind of labor. Okay, it's a different kind of striving. You know, quite a bit lately in Matthew, we've been talking about laboring in the harvest field and so on. Okay, but you see the distinction between the world's toil and its labor and its burden, which is just futility, and Christian labor. Though sometimes it is very tiring, and it's actually the byproduct of finding true rest. Okay, of course, you don't come to your final rest until traveling days are over, but you have rest along the way. Okay, it's like the Israelites on their wilderness journey. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Okay. On the other hand, the life of the unbeliever is a perpetual, despairing, striving in vain to find peace, to know God, to discover meaning, to get satisfaction. Okay, maybe some of you remember what that experience is like. I know some of you do. Do you remember that futility, that spinning your wheels? I hope you do remember. I hope you fully appreciate and that you appreciate it freshly each day, the rest that you have found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have found him. We have found the one our soul loves. The life of the disobedient Christian is hard also. Okay? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Life is toilsome when you buck against the yoke. Okay, either you forgot what he said or you don't believe it, that the yoke is easy. It's an easy yoke. It's not like what Peter says about the yoke of the law. Remember him saying, this is a yoke that neither we nor our fathers could bear. Like the yoke of the Pharisees. Jesus said, you lay heavy burdens on men's shoulders and then you don't lift a finger to help them. Okay, no. Christ is meek. He is gentle. He is humble. This way is the way of true rest. Grace from God. Peace from God. Are multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. That same word, epigenosis, through knowing God. Only Jesus Christ has that knowledge to give out, that personal knowledge of the Father. It has been committed into his hands alone by the Father. This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. But you were not willing. It's you who's keeping yourself from rest. Mm-hmm. This invitation is for you. And I say it to all of you. Are you unsaved? Then the invitation is for you. Are you a Christian, but still you're just so very weary? The invitation is for you. I suppose only people who it's not for would be, I guess, people who are not weary, not heavy laden. Okay, oh, you know, you can manage your own self. You think you got this, okay? I guess you're just not ready for Jesus then. Okay, you just go on, keep doing your thing, you know, keep running along, keep bearing that load, keep, you know, keep going until you find the dead end in your life, until you run out of gas, okay, because eventually you will. But until then, the things of God will be hidden from you. God hides them. He reveals them to the humble. He reveals them to the weary and to the teachable. Okay, there's the invitation. It's for people who admit they can't keep going on like this. They need help. They need deliverance. Come to me and learn. Take my yoke upon you. I will rest you. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall eventually faint and be weary, and the strong young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thanks be to God for his word. Lord Jesus Christ, what a precious prize you are. Lord, make your home in every heart. Please, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Father, to have mercy on us. I ask you to give conviction. I ask you to turn the lights on and give a glimmer of hope. May we all find you. May we all run to you. May we all find our rest in you, Lord. And then be ready to work. Not in our own strength, but in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord God, that you would take our burdens away from us. That we would truly be able to lay down our cares at your feet. And find freedom, find liberty, and find the joy of our salvation, and have peace with you. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercifulness toward us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.